You're watching Sipping Off the Cuff on Tequila Aficionado Media, part of tequilaaficionado.com. I'm Alex Perez in Southern California with my buddy Miguelito.
I'm Mike Morales, unpurpled, here in also in Southern California. And Alex and I have been so blessed for having this vintage, these vintages of Ocho Tequila. Mira. And this one, it comes from the Huerta, what's this one called? La Ladera. And this right now, these are the 2021 vintage of this particular field, of this particular estate. And this is an 80 proof, 40 ABV tequila. Look at all those nice bubbles on this one, Alex. Oh, my God.
Shampoo bubbles.
Because you know how I love shampoo bubbles. I do. We flipped over the Blanco, the quality of that Blanco from El Padregal?
El Pedregal.
Pedregales. Excuse me.
Piedras. Excuse me.
Yeah, La Piedra. Okay. So this one is from La Ladera.
So this is La Ladera.
Now, one of these, I read briefly, because all the information you need, folks, is right on the back, very much like what you're doing with mezcal at this point.
Yeah.
The altitude, where it's located. I think one of these is, I want to say that Blanco came from the highest altitude field that Carlos has, because the master distiller, Carlos Camarena.
Oh, they put it in there, too, 2,050 meters.
Yeah.
It's, elevation of Los Altos.
It tells you how high above sea level this really is. And, you know,
what am I saying?
Well, yeah, but, you know, the higher the altitude, the more stress the plant gets, you know, and it's a different microclimate. So here we go. I'm going to pour mine in my Stasso Jarrito that I use for mezcal. Because it's got a wider nose. And you know what we don't have, Alex? And I don't have that information in front of me. And we didn't get any POS. We don't know how long they're being aged in what barrels. I don't believe it's on the label.
This one's set to altitude too. Total of 86 acres. Altitude of 2,100 to 2,150. Meters above sea level.
As you can tell from the color, though, folks, if you can see it, you can see it now on my camera pretty well. It's a very light, pale straw, and that's pretty generally the same. You know, if you're a big fan of Felipe Camarena, and any of the Camarena branches, they're agave growers, so they're not going to rest these in brand new barrels. They're going to rest these in beat up old used barrels.
Yeah, and then they've got a purpose behind that. It's all about the juice.
It's all about the juice, the plant, the terroir. Look at the legs and tears on this thing, wow. Alex. Sheeting down naturally.
It's beautiful.
It's a natural cling. It's not too clingy where it's beating up and, you know, looks like maybe it's got a little, glycerin. There's nothing in this. It's just
all clean. Natural.
Au natural. So let me see what kind of nose we're getting.
Beautiful nose.
And I was telling Alex, I told this off camera, and I did during the Blanco, the purple edition, that I did meet Tomas Estes, who was the partner of he and Carlos for this brand. And I met him. I didn't spend a lot of time with him because most people that were writing about his life, spent a good amount of time with him in the UK because he was a tequila ambassador for tequila the UK. He had his own place called Pacifico, which a lot of other brand reps who came out of the UK cut their teeth on. They went there because that was the
tequila hub.
Yeah, it was a tequila hub in the UK where there wasn't one. So he was a lot of firsts for the UK, and sadly, we're coming up on his anniversary of his passing. So Alex and I have been blessed because this is the first time in 23 years that we've ever tried, you know, we've had a sipping off the cuff with a vintage of Ocho.
Official Ocho, right.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I just got a hint of anise down here on my left side. Wow. In an aged barrel. I don't get that very often. I used to get it in Blancos.
So this, the note says it's grilled pineapple, black pepper, green notes, like celery and peppermint. I'd get the peppermint even in the Blanco. Green guava. Wet soil, salty caramel.
Well, the wet soil, and that would be, you were talking about olive oil. So that would be the brininess that you and I sometimes get in a tequila, but it's a light, you know, saltiness. Salt and brine are literally the same thing, only salt is a little bit lighter. Brine is more like, you know, like an ocean type of saltiness.
I get
or like olives, like you said.
And you get the peppermint.
Yeah, and remember I told you that I thought I got a little rosemary or some kind of herbaceousness in that Blanco? And both of us got the anise, but we got it on the flavor, which was really odd. On the flavor to the rear of the palate.
Right. All right, I'm ready for this.
Yeah, let's go. Let's dive in. I'm ready. Oh my God.
Wow.
Sweetness on the sides and the back of the rear of the palate.
Amazing. Orange. Black pepper, roasted almonds.
There's there's a little bit more toasted almonds on this one because I would say the barrel.
Mineral. You get mineral?
I think so. I think there's more minerality in this one than there was in that Blanco. And again, we're when you start comparing this, it's not like it's all coming from the same field. I know that Blanco is going to taste different than this one. And the Blanco from this field will taste different than the Blanco from the other field that we just had. So we're not trying to compare. We're just trying to set a bar for us to go by in our data banks, in our memory database.
I love the uniqueness of each one of these.
It's no wonder people collect them, right? I mean, Alex, show the ones that you've got up. You have two of them. Are they both Blancos, by the way?
Yeah, they're all Blancos. So we got the 2017 Los Aguilas, I'm sorry. And then I've got the Los Patos from 2016.
My gosh.
So we need to get together and do a vertical.
Well, you know, you and I.
Side by side.
You and I did, I was at Alex's house late last year. We were judging actually the last year's Brands of Promise. And he said in between breaks, he goes, have you ever had Ocho? And I said, yeah, but it was years ago when I first met Tom Estes. And he pulls this out and he hands me a sample. And I went berserk. It was like, oh my God. Because you just know, you know, you can pick it out blind, Alex. This is one of those where you can, if they threw this in with a bunch of other Blancos, you could pick this one out blind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got a unique stamp. It's delicious. This Blanco is amazing.
Well, it's a Reposado. This is the one we're having.
I'm sorry, Reposado. Forgive me.
Yeah. I mean, it's so light, though, because obviously you want the older barrel because what they want to do is present. Look how light. That's a pale, pale straw.
Light straw.
Again, all the Camarenas are very proud of their growing techniques and their protocols and their agaves. So they're not going to hide it with a barrel.
No, and their barrel management is genius, too.
Oh, yeah, because if you look at some of the older versions of El Tesoro, and even Tapatio, for that matter, you know, the barreling.
And even his brother, G4.
They're all different. Yeah, they're all different. This particular vintage, 2021, was still being distilled, according to the label, at La Alteña, which is the Carlos Camarena. It's that distillery. It now has Tequila Ocho has its own distillery, and if you have had the tequila that comes from there, that is infused with agave. What the hell was the name of it? The tip of my tongue, but that one's coming from the new distillery, and anything now that's being harvested and produced, the distillery, the new distillery has had a grand opening, I believe in February or March. So it's fairly new, but all the other vintages will now be distilled there under Carlos's guidance. And so they'll be moved officially, but these are still from the El Tesoro distillery, basically, at least according to the label. I'm going to go with what the label says.
Another brand of promise.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Hands down.
Brand of promise. This is in the legacy vintage category, which doesn't exist. They just opened up their own category right now. This is lovely. Now, you were telling, what kind of price point were you seeing on something like this? Because you gave people a crazy suggestion about making a
friend with a liquor store. I gave out a secret.
Yeah, because... Well, that cat's out of the bag, bro. I tell you. Alex made a killing on those two bottles. Not made a killing, because you don't want to sell these, but he was able to acquire the two Blancos that he has from Ralph's as a closeout. And
one of them I did. But what happens is these supermarkets will do a reset of their liquor wall. They usually do it like maybe once a year, because you know, you got the buyers that come in, they represent the brands, and they all negotiate. I want the top shelf, I want the bottom shelf. No, they take things out. And those things that are taken out of that set, you know, they can no longer put it on the shelf. They have to sell it at a discount to get rid of it. So that's where sometimes you come in and you see a shopping cart full of booze, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And wine. And it's because they've gone through a reset. So if you get in good with the liquor manager and know when those resets are happening, they'll let you know. And usually it will keep the cart in the back for you. So you get first dibs of all the stuff.
Oh, my God.
They'll be closeout whiskey. They'll be closeout wine. They'll be closeout tequila. You name it.
Well, you know, you have
really good stuff.
Alex's, new Area 51 of tequila, he has a library of, because Alex is a big cocktail guy. So he's got rums and whiskeys and stuff that I've never actually been to your place long enough to see what it is you have. I've only seen your tequila liquor cabinet, but, and the stuff that I've dropped off to you as well, but you really have a wide variety of stuff. Have you, do you make it a point to acquire stuff like that for your library?
Oh yeah.
You know, with, by making friends, well, because you were in the wine business for a long time, so you know how the whole thing operates.
Well, I'm a big liquor guy, so I've got rums,
he's got
spirits, because I make your own cocktails, so I'm always experimenting. So I've got liquors or liqueurs and all different types of spirits. I think the only thing I don't have is vodka. If I do, I might have.
I do. You want one? You want one? Because I rinse my mouth with the vodka. But that's when I have vodka.
I'm a big gin guy. So I've got gins, I got vermouths, I've got Amaros, I've got rums, you name it.
Alex
would blow up if you light a match.
Alex is, yeah, I know, huh? Alex is a big cocktail guy, in case you didn't know. So anytime I was telling somebody else, I was doing a tasting with the other day, I said, you know, Alex is your barometer, your acid test is if the tequila, it's an acid test for not only the tequila, but also for the bar. If they can make you an old fashioned with whatever expression that you we deem necessary. And I've been with you, the last time you and I were together, where it was at Partida, and the the bartender was just messing things up. But your acid test is the old fashioned. If that tastes good, if the booze tastes good in an old fashioned, that is the one you want to have neat. You want to be able to sip it neat, because it's like your barometer. I've noticed that about you, because you'll order it a lot. I've been with you a couple of times just out drinking. And the first time I had an old fashioned for the very first time, we were at a function for Casa Noble, I think, or they were a big sponsor. And you asked for a Casa Noble old fashioned. It was stunning. Of course, the bartender, she was amazing too. Zara Bates, as I recall. And ever since then,
That's my go-to.
That's your go-to.
That's my go-to. If you can make a good old fashioned, you usually are a good bar.
Okay.
That's a barometer.
And I know that these are sippers.
Right.
If someone were to tell you, I want a cocktail in one of these, you know, after you slap him upside the head, what will you do? What would you do with him? I mean, could you?
Yeah. I mean, if it's for yourself, but not for a party. But if it's for yourself, I mean, you want the best quality ingredients. So I wouldn't bat an eye on even a you know, like a Oaxacan old fashioned.
Oh, if, yeah.
Take this reposado, because you'll be doing an ounce and a half of this reposado with a half ounce of some good mezcal, some agave syrup, and a little
bit. Here's what I'm going to tell you, Alex.
Aztec chocolate bitters.
Oh, okay. It just so happens to be on his bar.
Right? That's over the top right there.
Well, you know, the one I mentioned, the name of the tequila that comes out of that new distillery, the Ocho distillery, is Curado, which was the final idea of Tomas Estes before he passed away. And I've done, we did tastings of those with Bryce. He and I did those. And Curado, if you don't know what that is a Blanco tequila that they pretty much teabag roasted agave for only a little while in the tanks before they bottle it. And they got to keep watching it. They have one that is infused with blue agave. So it's Blanco tequila, Blanco blue agave with Blanco teabagged, you know, roasted agave in the tanks. You know, in Muslim bags, right? The other one is Espadín, and the other one is Cupriata. And to me, those are great. Not only are they delicious, but they are great teaching tools for people who have never been to a distillery and go, well, what does agave, blue agave smell right. like and taste like? You pour some in your hand or spray it. You use an atomizer and spray some. And you get that double dose of agave from, you know, distilled and baked that has been teabagged in it. It's almost as good as getting the fresh agave from the baked agave from the oven.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is, so when you were talking about the Oaxacan old fashioned, you could probably do it with a curado where you're using the agave, the one with Espadín in it.
Nice.
That would have been fabulous. I'm gonna have to get you a bottle.
Get my hands on that. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get you a bottle, bro. what else can we say about this? Has it opened up for you more? Can you detect anything else? Because I'm getting very light barrel notes, but mostly the plant. And one of these.
I gotta pour myself a little bit more.
And it's rare because most of the time I'm able to pull out stuff, but this one is so deep that every time we pour it and it opens up, it's very capricious. I will tell you, spend time with it because it's.
Like you said, it doesn't say anything about the barrel, the time in the barrel.
I'm sure we could find
it. Type of barrel.
Right.
But it's another amazing masterpiece from Camarena and Associates.
I'm getting sweet whiskey notes, so I would imagine it's a whiskey barrel. I'm not even going to care from who. Doesn't matter. I know some of you collectors probably know more about, you know, who really zero in on Ocho and their expressions and their different vintages would know more about it than we do. I just wanted to have the chance to be able to do this a couple of times three times online with you, Alex, because you're my most recent exposure to Ocho, other than the one I had 8 years ago. And as we go through the Añejo, I will tell you that story, what happened between Tomas and me, Tom Estes and myself. I spent 20 minutes with the guy. And it's one of those events in your life that really just leaves an imprint on you that, you know, you and I have been knowing each other for 20, coming on 24 years. And I've been away out of the state and back and forth and like together and things like that. But we spent 10 minutes together and it was almost like I'd known him 23 years. You know, everything that I heard from everybody else, everything that I had heard from the juice itself and the sample that I had the first time. You know, I was there for Tapatio. That was when they rolled out Tapatio in L.A. and they happened to be there. And of course, the bar was Las Perlas in downtown L.A. So they had everything. You name it.
Nice.
They carried it all. And they were serving samples of, you know, Ocho. And the one I had was very mushroomy and it was very, you know, very vegetal, as I recall. And I went bananas. Of course, I went nuts because I don't remember what the vintage was. I didn't know. I didn't care. You know, that's not what I was there for. I was there to experience.
It was an experience, yeah.
And it was a wonderful experience. And I have photos that we'll be uploading these photos on Instagram because they've never been published before. I have photos of Tom Estes. And a short video, which is on our YouTube channel, when Carlos was rolling out Tapatio into the U.S. So I have that as well. But stellar stuff. That's our take. It's a brand of promise, of course, nominee in the legacy vintage category. Oh my God, go get it! Don't hesitate twice. Pay whatever you get for it. Whatever it is. It
looks like it's a $50-$55 range.
That's you know what? There's lesser quality tequilas that are charging that much for their Blanco.
Yeah, this is amazing.
No.
This is pedigree right here, pedigree.
Yeah, pedigree. Go get it. Anyway, folks, that's our take on this particular Ocho La Ladera. This is the Reposado. Stick with us. We got one more to do. And thank God my camera didn't turn purple on this one. Thank you, Alex, for helping me out. Folks, you've been watching, listening to Sipping Off the Cuff on Tequila Aficionado Media, all of our channels and networks. Please subscribe. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit the notification bell, give us a like, subscribe, unless you have commitment phobia. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you're doing with it, how much you're paying for it, where you're getting it, what your favorite field is, the estate that it's coming from, what year the vintage is. And, you know, Alex, take us home.
Yeah, let us know how you feel about it, what your tasting notes are, or where you found your treasure trove. But as always, thanks for watching and sip wisely.